Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the naughty behaviors that can sometimes pop up when traveling with kids.
Hey, nobody's perfect, and when environment, schedules, daily activities, and even food is different, things are bound to get a little out of hand.
We will explore some of the hot spots we have identified and small tweaks that can make a big difference.
Plus, we are reviewing a campground in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, Sugar Ridge RV Park, where we whittled away the last days of summer vacation. Listen to hear the skinny on our latest New England campground discovery.
And we are reviewing season 2 of Big Time RV on the Travel Channel this week. RV shows have become a bit more mainstream, and this one is one of our recent favorites.
And we are, of course, delighted to have Go RVing back as our RV FTA sponsor. Listen for a message from them just a bit later in our show. To find your way, head over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA.
You may have perfect angels that fly through campground trips with an aura of sweetness and light. But here at RVFTA, we have enough material to dedicate a whole podcast to the topic. This is episode number 50, Naughty Behavior at the Campground.
So before we head into this week's featured topic, naughty behavior at the campground, it's time for the RV FTA News Roundup. Round it up.
All right. I'm going to round it up for you. Okay. First things first. The most important thing. Do you want to do a little drum roll?
I don't know how to do that.
There you go. That's not bad. All right. All right. Now you have to stop.
I have to stop. That's probably annoying.
We are done with our book.
We finished writing.
Right, exactly.
So the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations is done.
It's done.
And guess what? They liked it.
Yeah, they do.
They liked it.
Everything is going very well. So we still have all of the, I don't know what it's called.
Like, author approval, dear. AP.
Right, okay, you're right.
Okay, so they're sending us back edited pages.
Yeah, we go through things.
Yeah, and guess what? We're done over a week ahead of our deadline.
Yeah.
So for all the other publishers out there listening, and we know you're out there, that's how we roll.
Do we have publishers listening to the show?
Oh, totally.
A lot, right?
And that's how we roll. We finish ahead of deadline. Our deadline was at 11:59 p.m., I kid you not, the night before Labor Day.
No, August 31st.
August 31st.
Yeah. Okay. So we're ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm. We're ahead of
schedule. That's good. Okay. So the book is there. It's up on Amazon.
You can buy it.
It won't be available until
May 3rd.
Isn't that
weird? It's so weird to me that you can buy this book. And someone told us they bought it today.
Right.
We haven't bought it.
No.
But
it's
there.
I don't think we have to.
But it's there. So there is evidence. We have proof of life on the book.
Right.
Okay. Up on Amazon.
Yeah. All right. So a little more news that will happen more sort of.
In the near future, dear. What you're trying to say is in the near future, not in the long future.
Right. We have very exciting news about the Hershey Show.
And we've been teasing you about this
for weeks. We've been telling you that we're going to be at the Hershey Show. But now we can tell you.
The ink is dry on the contract.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be there with Progressive.
So we're going to be working with Progressive at the Progressive booth. Mm-hmm. And Progressive knows how to do a booth at an RV show. They don't mess around.
So they sent us the whole
schematic.
Yeah,
the blueprints.
We got the pictures of everything they
do. Games. There's swag. There's fun.
Yeah, this isn't a table.
You can take a Floto with Flo.
Yes.
And you're going to have to come to find out what that is.
It's like a green screeny kind of thing where you can get your picture with Flo. Come on.
And you get to talk to us.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And we're there too.
We'll be there too. So one or both of us will be there for the whole show.
Yes, from Wednesday, September 16th.
So Wednesday, 16th. September 16th to the 20th.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on coming, drop us an email. Let us know when, and we'll make sure we're around. Because we also get to kind of float around and walk around the RV show.
Float. out around.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be at Hershey in a formal capacity.
Right.
Working with a company.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking to some other people while we're there that are, you know, just in the industry around. We're touching base with. We're going to be interviewing people. We're going to be looking at new models of RVs.
Snapping photos for Instagram.
Right. It is super exciting to be at the Hershey RV
Show. And the important thing for you to realize if you're going, and if you're shopping, RV shows can be stressful. Okay, but the Progressive booth is fun.
De-stress.
Okay? So drop in and say hello as you enter the show, because I think we'll be up near the entrance. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, after a long day of shopping, come by and talk to us.
Right.
Okay, we want to know how you did.
Yeah, Jeremy's giving foot rubs.
Jeremy's giving foot rubs.
His eyes just got so big.
So now no one's coming.
Show up for that. They don't know yet.
Anyway, we'll be there. And if you're coming, we would love to say hello and chat with you and have you come over to the Progressive booth and have some fun with
us. Yeah. So, and then speaking of Progressive, just this week, our next article went up on their blog. And I really, really like this article that we wrote. We actually wrote it a little while ago and gave it to them. But the reason why I was so happy to see it go up is this topic keeps coming up.
We keep getting correspondence about this.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic. And
we've
addressed it. We need to address it again.
Last week, we read an iTunes review from a listener about the cost of RV ownership. And we addressed that on last week's episode, episode 49. And then we also talked about it when we talked about Go RVing's
Vacation calculator
where you can actually see how the difference in a vacation and RV
vacation. And we
vacation.
Got some serious emails. People had some really passionate opinions about this.
Yeah. So this money topic with RV vacations is important to people, but I also think it's a tricky topic because the bottom line is there is no one cost of a vacation.
Well, and there's
a
lot of different ways to interpret your expenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
Budgeting's a tricky business. So I love this article. Go on over to at.progressive.com. And our article is RVing on Any Budget. And what we did was we talked about five different ways that you control the cost
of your RV vacation. Yeah. And our thesis here that we're putting forward is that with an RV vacation, you have more control over your budget in all these different areas. We really believe this because we've lived it for 5 years, 6 years almost.
Right. So we talk about how much you pay for your RV, how much you pay to maintain your RV, campground costs, food costs, activity costs, driving costs.
And they're also important. But, I mean, we know people who have purchased used pop-up campers for $800.
Yeah.
And we know people who have very, very expensive Class A motorhomes. So there's just such a wide variety of price points in terms of getting into this RVing thing.
And I don't think we're done with this topic.
Oh, we're not.
We're not. And it's what we're going to do is
we never are done with topics. We put them away in the closet because we're going to take them back out again
later.
Well,
this one isn't away right now. This is really, I think, at the forefront of our thinking. And we'll focus on it. I think it's interesting to people. So I would say going to focus on it this fall and come back with another featured episode that really hones in on some of these issues that we talk about on the Progressive blog. So go on over. If you're not signed up for our newsletter, sign up for our newsletter at our website. At our website, it's right in the sidebar. You can put your email address in. You get a weekly email from us. That's it. Now, the reason why that's important is because a lot of our articles are sort of on the internet in different places. And our weekly newsletter gives you the link to click whether we're published on this blog or that blog. It'll give you a rundown of all those links so you can chase them down and read what we
write. Yeah, it's news in a letter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually not in a letter.
No hidden information
there.
It's an
email. Our rallies, okay? So our fall rally, I'm getting actually really excited about our fall rally at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA Friday, October 23rd and Saturday night, October 24th. It's a Halloween-themed weekend, trick-or-treating, pumpkin painting, canoeing on the Brandywine River, just a great place that we return to again and again. Mm-hmm. The sites I reserved are gone, okay? But it's a small campground, and there are probably still some other sites available.
Yeah.
So if you want to come, you really do need to call them and get on it.
Yeah, we're not joking about that. And speaking of the Philadelphia Westchester KOA, Last week we talked about KOAs, and I would just like to say this is an example of the kind of campground that we talked about that is truly a family business. You know, this is Gary and Lori.
Absolutely. And their kids are involved.
Yes. And they left the corporate world. They were both in like a busy corporate world. They both had jobs that they felt were like dragging them down and they weren't getting enough family time. They left those jobs and they opened up a campground.
Yeah.
So that is.
In fact, I think at certain points, three generations have been involved in running this campground.
Yeah. It is truly a family business. And I just thought of that off the top of my head because they're just such good
people. Yeah. So support them and come to the rally and we'd love to meet you. The spring rally, and I know it seems Looney Tunes again.
But
like
I don't think that's another
rally,
thing. You can't
the
get a
spots
site,
are
right?
Filling up fast. Now, there's still some
around us.
Yes, there are still a few of the reserved spots.
Okay.
Not necessarily for big rigs, okay?
But you can be a couple minutes away.
But you
away
can
and
be
walk
a
over.
Short walk away or whatever.
Or if you're one of those fancy
the
people
spring
and you
rally
get golf carts.
Is Lake and Oh, yeah, we've had people do golf carts.
Yeah.
And they're nice and they'll give you a ride in their golf cart.
Yeah, that's right. We got
right?
them.
So the spring rally is at Lake and Wood June 3rd and 4th, the weekend after Memorial Day.
Yep.
And definitely there are some people also coming Thursday night. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if we are or not, but some people are going to come a night early. So feel free to do that. Okay. Our first birthday is coming up.
Yes.
And we're going to be celebrating.
Yeah, we are. And I want to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. So we're going to have a birthday sort of celebration episode where it's going to be a little bit of a retrospective episode. We look back at the past year, talk about some of our favorite topics and what we'd really love to hear from you guys.
And we would really, really appreciate it if you would do this.
It
would help
this.
Us with the show.
Yes.
And we were just curious.
Would you please tell us what your favorite episodes have been or
just
what your
episode
favorite,
even, right?
Right. One episode. Or what your favorite episode moment was. You know, like we've gotten emails that have been like, oh my gosh, I practically like spit out my coffee when you said this.
Yeah. Can I tell you one of my favorite moments? And
sure.
It's crazy. I remember us arguing about whether a turkey Reuben is a Reuben.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite moments from year one because you were telling me that wasn't a real Reuben.
All right.
Okay, and that was when we covered Washington. We went to Washington, D.C. So
okay.
Anyway,
all
that
right.
would help us for that episode, and we're really curious to see what episodes meant a lot to you.
And you can email us. You can always use our contact page on the website, or you could always use that voice memo app on your phone, and you can email.
Get ambitious, people.
Yeah, you can just email that to us, and then we have your voice.
And like Stephanie said, we're going to give away. We have a bunch of goodies lined up to give away for that anniversary episode, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
And we will be back in a second with a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing.
Do you need to find more information about local RV dealers, RV shows, or RV rentals?
Then head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA and click on the Where to Find tab.
You'll find search tools that will direct you to local dealers where you can see, feel, and experience an RV before deciding if it's the right one for your family.
Or do you want to check out the next RV show in your area but don't know where or when it is? Let Go RVing show you the way.
Their Where to Find tab allows you to search by state and by month.
Visiting an RV show is a great way for prospective buyers to see many new models at once and get a great deal.
Find your way. Go RVing.
So RV show season is coming up. I mean, we've been talking about Hershey, okay? And you're definitely going to have your fall shows where they get rid of the models from the current year. Then there's like a little bit of a break. And then you're going to really have your full-on RV show season like January, February, March.
Yeah.
And you can find out all that information on the Go RVing website.
I think we talk so much on this podcast about our belief in research. Right?
Absolutely.
Like if you are going to buy an RV or if you are upgrading or trading in or in any way changing
your
current.
Or if you want to rent, if you're not sure you want to do this, renting is a great way to get your feet wet.
Yeah. These kinds of tools, going to RV shows, going to different dealers, right? Even researching dealerships, going to different places and seeing as many different options as you can and really exploring those things, we think makes all the difference in how happy you are with your decision later on. So this is another tool there in your wheelhouse. Go find an RV show. They are good entertainment through the winter doldrums.
Absolutely. You know what? That is so true.
It's true.
I am dreading winter.
Yeah.
And like one of the only things I'm looking forward to about winter is the RV shows.
Yeah,
I like RV show
yeah.
season. Uh-huh. I enjoy going to an RV show.
Yep.
And we recommend getting a babysitter. And leaving the kids
we
at home.
We do it
that's
both
just
ways.
Our,
it depends, but
that's just our thing. Okay,
like
if you really want to look around and shop around, we go out of your way and get a babysitter. So anyway, look, whether you're interested in renting or you're interested in buying or you just want to find out when an RV show is, all of this information you can find under the Where to Find tab at goRVing.com/RVFTA. We'll be back in a second with our feature topic. So before we head into this week's featured topic, naughty behavior at the campground, we just wanted to clarify that our kids are not bad at the campground.
No.
This episode is based on what we've seen from other
yes.
people's children.
Yes.
And
this is like speculative on our part.
Yeah.
Like, what would we do if our kids did beg for ice cream?
What would we do if mm-hmm. our kids were completely crazy at bedtime? Mm-hmm. What would we do?
Right.
That kind of thing.
What if we weren't so charmed?
Yeah. I mean, just we have parenting down and... we wanted.
What if we didn't have all the answers?
Yeah, I mean, we read a few books and whatever.
Right.
No, actually, all right. So let's keep it real. We've wanted to do this naughty behavior episode for a while. We really have. And we've hesitated. So why have we hesitated?
Well, I've said this before on the podcast, but I'll just kind of clarify again. We are very careful about the way we talk about our kids. On the blog also, it's something that from early on I said, okay, we're kind of writing a lot about our kids. We're talking a lot about our kids. But at the same time, it was really important to me not to trot them out for the sake of humor, entertainment.
Yeah. There's a fine line there.
So everybody talks so much about how the internet is forever and all that kind of stuff. And I take that very seriously when we do what we do. And I always think, I don't want my kids to be embarrassed if they read this in the future, and our kids listen to every podcast now.
We do. We listen to them in the car.
And I never want them to think, oh, my
They're
mom
making
thought
fun of
that
us.
About
right.
me, or I didn't know they thought that
Yeah, that would
that
just
way.
Turn them off mm-hmm. to this experience so quickly. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have no problem mm-hmm. saying we're showing our family in its best light in a
yeah.
lot of ways in our writing. And
yeah.
that's what we want to write about, want to celebrate. But this is a real issue for
yeah.
us and for all parents.
So when we talk about naughty behavior, we're doing so more in like a general instance, not calling one specific kid out on the carpet for
yeah,
one
I mean, we're
going
to have to give
thing.
Some specific details.
Yeah.
But look, we could make this play pretty ridiculously funny and trot out all kinds
we
of
could.
Stories. Look, we were on the road almost all summer,
yeah.
so we just saw every manifestation
yeah.
of naughty behavior. And, we want to get a conversation started yeah. about this with our other parents that are out there listening. How do you deal with these issues?
And there's another reason why this has been on our minds for so long. And that's because in general, when you read about family travel, there's often this like undercurrent of stress about it, right? Like people come back from vacation, like frazzled and
they come
worn
back from
out.
Vacation needing a vacation.
Right, exactly. So the whole question to us all along is why is that, right? How are we doing vacation wrong in America, or that American families are sort of feeling like that way when they come back from vacation? So that's on our minds. We want family vacations to be restful and relaxing for everyone. But at the same time, we also know kids struggle when they're out of their element.
Right. So you identified four hot spots, and we kind of both agreed that these are areas where we see naughty behavior emerge. So we're going to walk through these four. So the first one will be the car rides. Okay, the ride to the campground, the ride home for the campground, particularly if you're going on a longer trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an area where you have to deal with bad behavior.
It is
right?
the first thing people talk about when they talk about road trips.
Absolutely.
Kids in the car, right? The kicking of the backseat, the mommy's touching me, he's looking at me. hey, stop, you're crossing over my line, right? I mean, it's stories from when we were little. You on Pinterest, there's board after board on Pinterest dedicated to car activities.
Right.
Because car rides with kids are hard.
car rides, this is the only area where I'm very sympathetic to their bad behavior because, I mean, for us, we're in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
The three boys are in the back seat of the pickup truck. And we try not to do more than 6 or 7 hours, but we definitely did this summer.
We did. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did a 10-hour stretch in the car, an 8-hour stretch in the car. This is the time when I feel like they're misbehaving. And of course they are. They've been in the car for 7 hours.
They don't know how to be bored yet without, like, taunting somebody else. Like, that's their entertainment.
But see, here's the thing, though. There's no reason for them to be bored when they can poke somebody sitting next to them,
right,
when they can hit somebody right sitting next to them, or when baby Wesley falls asleep in the middle, they can wake him up.
Yeah, just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just for giggles.
Because Wesley is a toy. Right?
Well, it's interesting because our boys, we had actually gotten our two older ones, we had gotten them to the place where they were extremely well-traveled in the car, and they were doing really well. They got car sick when they were little, and so we totally eliminated the portable DVD player, and for about
right
4 years, we traveled.
No movies in the
without
car.
Without any movies in
not
the car.
Not because we're like Luddites, but
no,
because they barfed.
We had tried it.
We had double twin vomit in the
yeah
car.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because this summer was the first summer we broke it back out again because of the two-year-old in the middle of them.
Right.
The boys, the older two, had learned really almost how to like mind their own P's and Q's with each other on opposite sides of the back seat and kind of stare out the window. And we had learned to introduce those old games, the alphabet game. They could read then. I got those bingo printable boards where they would look for certain cars and things like that.
But young Wesley is emerging as a human being. And these games are not, he's just not old enough to do these kinds of games.
So he's two and he's in the middle of the two of them. And he was torturing them. Like, just every time they try to settle into something.
He has become the agent provocateur to some degree.
Well, he was in the middle and not knowing how to entertain
himself. Yeah, they all know how to use each other for entertainment.
Yeah.
And when they do that, and there's probably other parents out there who have the same issue. When they do that, it's usually not really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually in a really antagonistic
way. I know, and
this
makes all of us parents so sad. We're like, why can't you just get along?
Well, right? Here's the thing. I mean, look, if you have little kids and you're RVing, you could just say, I'm only going to go 2 hours away.
Exactly.
You know, we could make that decision. We could say, look, our kids can't handle 8 hours in the car, so we'll just go to Pennsylvania for vacation every year.
We also just don't go out west. Like, we're not
You and I are ready for Glacier. We were ready for Glacier 10 years ago.
We are limiting ourselves to like a closer proximity because of that. So we do make adjustments, and you might also. Now, just, you know, another thing is we did end up taking out the DVD player again this year, and it helped enormously. But what happened was we would give them like markers of time. And that really, I thought, worked. Like, they knew when snack
time
was.
We'll do a movie at 10 o'clock.
Yes, right.
Right.
And then they knew we were going to stop, like, we tried to do 3-hour increments. And so we kind of, like, buffer the time on either side. And then there'd be, like, the movie, and there'd be the snack, and maybe, like, their little books, the atlases that you got them. Like, you know, little activity time.
Yeah, the tough part, again, though, is those atlases were good for Max and Theo.
Right.
But for Wesley, I got all three of them, these atlases, like, these kid atlases. And for Wesley, it's like he just wanted to color on his legs.
Yeah, no, it was a good idea. The atlases were a good idea, but they were too old for the boys because I had to read all the instructions to them and help them. So I was twisting around. So the concept there is good. A limited activity, some sort of movie,
a time, not just for the movie, but setting
just
a time
for
snack. Mm-hmm. Because one of your big issues was you felt like it was a nonstop buffet,
a
few times where they were just like, they're strapped in the back, they're bored, and it's just, mom, give me food.
Feed me.
Mom, feed me. You know,
it was ridiculous.
And there was one point in one of the trips where that was really tough for you. And so finally you got more like rigid about saying, guys, snack time is at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And they would look at the clock.
And they'd look
at the
clock.
And
they'd
be like, because we said like, 1100. To help them because obviously they're a little young for
time. So scheduling both a movie on a long car ride, scheduling snack time, these are helpful things.
Yeah.
Anything else that helps
parents
deal with the ride?
No, I think that what you have to do is you have to do that and then you have to hit the reset button where you stop at that 3-hour mark. They go in, they run around at a rest stop, whatever. And then when you get back in the car, you're right back at, you know, zero time and you go for another.
I have to say, like, all of these strategies, I think, work and we have limited success. Right, with scheduling a movie, scheduling snack time, letting them run around at a rest stop. I do feel like there is an element of sort of accepting a certain amount of existential despair in a long car ride with children, and that it's going to be rough. And if you want to go 8 hours from home, you kind of got to like buck up and deal with it.
Right. Maybe get noise canceling earphones.
Oh my gosh.
That might work. Well.
Yeah. Well, look, nothing makes me want to motor home more than those drives where we're all just in the pickup truck so close on top of each other.
I think that's true. And then at the same time, I'm always incredibly proud of Max and Theo for, I think they're pretty good, like good road warriors.
They'll do 6 hours without an issue, right? You know, it's like once
it's always
hour seven, hour eight, you know, okay. So anyway, some tips there to deal with the car ride, limited tips to deal with the car ride. All right. Now, how about dealing with campground activities and like what activities we're going to choose, what they get to choose, what we get to choose. It just seems like you can have this nonstop begging. Oh, can we go do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? And it's like they want to be in charge of every minute of their day, but that doesn't work for us as a family.
Yeah, because one of the problems with giving your kids a say in things is that then they think they have all the say. This is sort of this balance. I think I grew up in a family where I wasn't in charge of any of the choices. So I think in my mind as a mom, I'm always like, let's all decide this together. Let's talk about our day and come to a reasonable.
Yeah, our boys, that doesn't work so well because then they want constant control over what they're doing at the campground. And we've talked about this a lot. We have been going more to private campgrounds where there are a lot of on-site things to do. So, you know, they want to go to the pool. They want to go to the pool, but maybe mom and dad want to go on a hike.
Yeah,
right?
And as they've gotten older, we've realized they become much more aware of their options, and then they become much more opinionated about their options. So that was a change that we had to deal with more this summer.
They became very opinionated, and saying that they became more aware of their options is very important for our what we experienced this summer. So we had blissful years where our boys did not know what an arcade was, and we would go to a campground, private campground, and they wouldn't see the arcade. They wouldn't even know it was there because we wouldn't take them in it, right?
And the activity schedule. They didn't know an activity schedule existed.
But this summer, they kind of discovered the arcade. Okay, so at the beginning of the summer, this became an issue because we had given them each a little campground allowance.
That they had to budget through the trip.
They had to budget through the trip. And we don't let them play video games, period.
They don't have them. They don't know how.
But they still were finding their way into the arcade. There was a little sneaking into the arcade.
Yeah, because there was an older boy who was camping with us who could kind of show them the way.
Yeah, and the arcade became an obsession on the early part of our trip. So one of the suggestions that we would make for dealing with this type of problem is you have to remember as a parent that you are in control.
Yeah.
And I suffer with that problem where I forget that I'm the adult sometimes and that I can put my foot down and say no. Like, I can have my rules.
Like, I look at you and I'm like,
yeah, like I am in charge.
I give you that look.
I am feeding these children and clothing them, and I can make decisions. They're not in control.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had trouble on the first leg of our Great Smoky Mountains trip with the arcade. So we both decided no arcade.
Right, and that's okay.
And
they're
as a parent, yes, it is okay.
They don't have to have the arcade. So but we talked with them about it extensively.
Like, and it was rough for a day or two. Mm-hmm. There was really a lot of resistance and whining for a day or two. But then it just became the new reality that they don't go in the arcade. And at one point, one of the boys said, well, I'm not so interested in the arcade. I want to go to the playground or the pool.
Right, like they can get over
Well, like, yeah, like right. He didn't have the option anyway, but it just became his new reality. So you might have to deal with the whining when you put your foot down on a certain issue, but we can say no as parents.
And I think that we really learn, you know, again, you guys have heard me complain about the other things that are for charge at a campground because I don't like to hear the whining. Like, say there is the mini golf. I don't want to hear whining about mini golf. So
because we're like a once a week mini golf family.
So one of the things that we realized this summer is that we have to walk into these things with very clear guidelines and understandings with the kids. That it's only fair to say to them ahead of time. And you know, it's better to put it in their hands. Say, we're going to play mini golf one time over here. When would you like to do it? And then if they want to do it right away, well, good for you.
Empower
because you
them,
get it
but with
out of the way.
A limitation. Because if every day they have a question in their mind as to whether they are going
happen.
To get mini golf, they're going to, at least our kids,
you.
They're going to stress out about it and torture you about it. It's
Is
not
it
going to be a
Is
fun
now?
Thing that they maybe could play mini golf. So yeah, to say at the beginning of the trip, okay, guys, you're going to get to do this once, or you're, maybe for your family, it's you're going to get to do this four times. I don't know what it is, but I think it works really well.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Laura and Hector, who we camped with. They're podcast listeners. That's how we met them. And we camped with them in Myrtle Beach, and they have older daughters. And it's always so nice for us to be around people with older kids and watch how they, you know, negotiate different ages.
To see that they're still well, to see that they're still breathing, that they haven't permanently suffered.
They said, and they didn't even tell us they were doing this. I just noticed it. The girls had been allowed to choose like what their one big activity was. Now, of course, these are older girls. They're not choosing mini golf. Like one,
they're
it was
choosing
zip lining,
like, sort of like zip lining
or
right.
kayaking. And they knew, like going into the trip, that they had all looked at the activities together as a family trip planning. And the girls knew, I can pick sort of like one cool
I
thing
like that
to
a
do.
Lot. So they, they're like in, they're involved, mm-hmm. they're empowered somewhat,
with
but there
limitations.
Are limitations
budget.
That we it is also
it's
budget.
It's a budget. I'm not spending my money at a silly arcade at a campground.
The kids every day shouldn't think they're going to get some crazy expensive activity. Yeah. You figure out what works for your family, what you can spend,
right?
And then tell them you're going to get to do this once, or you're going to get to pick one thing. When the boys get older, I would really like to do that.
Yeah.
To say pick the one activity that is kind of
like
more,
let's go through the guidebooks. Right. Let's look online. Right. Let's look at the things that are around and what would you be most interested in? I think that's such a fun way to plan a family vacation. And then that takes off the mom, dad, can we do this? Right. Can we do that? Or can I, you know, it's just one thing. So, or
absolutely.
Two things if you can afford it or whatever. So.
Every family's got to decide. Yeah. Okay. Right. Now for us, and I think for most parents, bedtime is tough on a camping trip because generally speaking, like we get our kids to bed fairly early.
Earlier, I guess, than the rest of the
earlier than the rest of America.
Because all the kids are running around the campground.
Well, let me tell you. At the beginning of our summer travels, we, you know, we put them to bed at the normal bedtime. And I remember walking to the back, to the bunkhouse. They both looked like they were at their own funeral.
You're a bleeding
and
heart.
I am a bleeding heart. And I'm going to say it now. I'm the permissive parent. I own that right now on the show. So I walked back into the bunkhouse. And they looked so miserably depressed. And I realized that they could hear the kids playing outside all around them.
Down in the Smokies, it is like bright light out at 9:30 at night. I mean, it just stayed light so late there.
Honey, we were putting them to bed before dark. You know,
and
so
they just couldn't handle
it. Look, it was not going to work. Yeah. So we had to adjust and set, you know, we would call them in sort of right before dark and then in bed at dark. So we had to extend their bedtime. The problem is we extended it to dark and they still resisted. They still wanted to stay because look, we were traveling with some older kids. There were older kids at the playground. That's a tough issue to deal with. Mm-hmm. So what's the secret here?
Well, we did eventually just say, again, I think it was a matter of us feeling like, okay, we compromised in a way that was comfortable for us. And
so we
now
had to stick with it.
The law is the law. So we actually gave them, it was a much later bedtime than they've ever had in their
it
entire
was
lives. But they did eventually, partway through the trip, get a bedtime of 9 o'clock. I said, 9 o'clock, everyone's in bed. So if, you know, because what they were doing was they were coming in late and then they still expected sort of, we have an extensive bedtime routine, including like books and blah, 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 some, you know, checker games and everything like that. So
yeah, wind down time for our family is like an hour.
Yeah. So what was happening was they were coming in so late and then they still expected all that. So what I finally did was I said, boys, this is the clock. This is your bedtime. So if you come in later, you're going straight
to
bed.
And the problem for our family too, and I don't know if other families are like this, is if we let our kids stay up later, they don't sleep later. They still get up early.
They did a little this summer because they were up so late. They finally, for the first time in their life, adjusted back a bit.
So look, you have to pick a bedtime and stick to it. And you know what? There might be older kids out there still playing at the campground, but that's life. I mean, you can't let your kids stay up till the oldest kid goes to bed. You know, I'm sorry. It's just not going to work for anybody.
Otherwise, maybe all of us
parents
should just have
a compact at the campground. Let's be selfish for a moment. I mean, what has been very valuable to us as RVing parents is some quiet time at the end of the night around the campfire to ourselves. And when the kids are going to bed at 10 o'clock, you and I aren't getting to sit around the campfire and relax a little bit. So all the parents out there, you know, be a little bit empowered, get your kids to bed and have some time together around the campfire.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we had a rain in bedtime. That was definitely
an issue. Look, mornings have been an issue for us too, because our kids wake up before 8 o'clock. Okay. So it's still quiet time at the campground. So our kids wake up at like 6:30 and they have so much energy.
Yeah. They're bouncing off the walls.
And we're in 300 square feet of RV or whatever it is, right? And they're bouncing off the walls. So how did we come to deal with some of the issues in the morning?
Well, I feel like they needed direction in terms of what quiet time activities were. And for a little while, we tried that out. Like, you know, the funny thing is sometimes as a teacher, you're like, okay, these things are so easy to fix in the classroom when kids assume that you're authoritative in terms of like what they're supposed
right.
to do at the
but
moment.
But our own children start to doubt that.
But your own children think that everything you say is a suggestion, you know? So, I said, okay, look, what are the quiet time activities that you can do in the morning? There's coloring.
Read a book.
There's reading.
Color.
Right?
Play checkers even.
Now, another thing that we started to do was I was like, I will ride bikes with you in the morning. Like, that's quiet. There's nothing loud about that. So
right.
if you want me to go for a bike ride with you, I love starting my day off with a bike ride. So then we did a little bike riding. We were in Myrtle Beach, and I was trying to get them to do bike riding in the morning. Now, they weren't riding. If they had been riding their bikes, they learned later.
Right.
I think that that would have been
a good time.
For
it. But they did, and we did end up saying, look, it's not 8 o'clock yet. It's still quiet time, but you can go outside and play quietly.
Yeah.
And they did do that.
And so they did. So they would go out on the carpet and try to play
checkers.
Take
out their action figures
together.
Or play checkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was about really giving them, I think, a list of options of things that were okay to
yeah.
do in the morning.
And look, there's obviously always the boob out and watch cartoons option, but we're always trying to not just give into that. Right.
Yeah.
And we do at times, but we try to come up with other things
because
as well.
Because I truly believe that kids should be able to
entertain
themselves in other ways. Like, it's going to be like, if you can't run around and scream, you
yeah.
have to watch TV. That's the only
so,
way.
So parents out there listening, if bedtime's a hot spot for you, if mornings are a hot spot for you, send us a note. I'm just curious how this goes for everybody else, particularly if you're traveling with kids of different ages.
Yeah.
That's always very tricky. So the last area where naughty behavior seems to flare up is in the area of treats,
but
the area
is,
of snack, of
yeah.
ice cream.
This is so interesting to me because I think it's the same thing for adults. When adults go on vacation,
they won't eat junk food all
just,
the time.
Well, yeah, it might not be like sugar and candy. It's the other thing. For adults, it's drinks and cheese.
And
yeah, it's just like having your all, you know, just eating big meals and eating out and everything. Vacation for most people does involve sort of a relaxing of the normal eating rules, right? So then you do that normally as an adult and you're okay with that. You're like, this is my vacation. I'm going to enjoy my meal.
The kids want to do it too.
But then the kids jump right on
and
that.
And so
train.
For our boys, if we're at a campground, they associate that with camp store ice cream.
Yeah, and other,
right?
I just
and
think
want
in general
it every
they want
every single night. And
yeah.
And honestly, we don't want to buy them. We joke around a lot about camp store ice cream on the show, but we really don't want to buy our kids ice cream every single night on vacation. So
yeah.
What did we do this time?
Or just like, to me, snacking in general, like, you know, just like not
the
having
non-stop
that.
Snacking
yeah, the
non-stop snacking
during the day. Non-stop, like looking
so we,
for that.
We had to put our foot down on that a little bit, but with ice cream, what was comfortable for our family, what your family could be totally different, we decided every other night when we're on vacation, you can get camp store ice cream every other night. I also don't want to pay for it every night, frankly.
No, well, of course not. That's
I mean, that becomes a budgetary, like a line item on your vacation budget if five people are getting ice cream.
Not five. You know, I hardly ever get
You bought camp store ice cream a few times.
I'm not a budget item yet. So, or we said s'mores, like on alternate nights, they could have a s'more around the campfire or whatever. Just really, in other words, making it a set thing
and sticking
this is what
and
it
sticking
is.
With it, and that is the hard part for me, right? But what I realized is if you do stick with your rule, it becomes reality, right? When you enforce a rule or you put a rule in place, but then you don't enforce it, there's that world of blurring the lines, right? And they're going to torture you in that blurry period.
Because if they think it might,
right?
you might give in, forget it.
You need to stick with it. And I had a real epiphany with the arc, going back to the arcade thing. You know, like when we finally said no arcade period, you know, I felt bad about that for a day or two, but I stuck with it. And then they didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to go to the arcade. It wasn't, they didn't need to do it to have fun anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So we are right as parents, right? I mean, you know, go with your instincts.
Even if you're
as
wrong,
parents.
You're right. Cause you're just deciding the rules for yourself. And the thing is that when you're outside of your own environment, it can be easy to double, you know, to question.
Well, also because there's going to be lots of other kids and lots of other families around.
They're doing things differently.
They're doing things differently. And you it has to be okay for your family to do things the way you want to do things as your family. Just because you're at a campground in this compressed microcosm with all these other families and other kids around doesn't mean all of a sudden the rules have to go totally out
and
the window.
So some things should be flexible. Like, for example, something that I gave on this summer was juice, because we're just not a juice family. Like, the kids don't drink it in the house.
But honestly, we're not an ice cream family.
No, we're not.
On ice cream.
Never
we never buy – there is never ice cream, much to my chagrin.
No. Okay.
There is never ice cream in this house.
That's why.
But when we are on an RV trip, it's like ice cream, ice cream,
because
ice cream.
Because it's like they just associate that as a treat.
Well, and they don't get it at home.
Yeah.
So, like, when we're at a campground, they know, like, 100 yards away in the camp store, there's ice cream.
Yeah. So, right? When we were, like, first camping with some friends and everything, you know, a lot of them would have juice boxes. And I felt like my kids were always, like, being, like, almost like beggars, like, to the other parents, like, getting juice. So, finally, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Other parents would be sneaking juice boxes
to the boys.
Yeah, I'm
like, this is crazy. Of course, it's okay if my kids have juice every once in a while. I just don't keep it in the house. And I just don't do it.
Yeah, and they're healthy and strong boys.
So,
so
what I decided to do was, I was like, you know what? Juice seems to be a little bit of a thing. They see all the other kids drinking it at dinner. I'll just buy a big thing of juice boxes and then I can offer juice to the other kids.
And I like
too.
Getting the honest kids. Mm-hmm. We've bought those a few times too. Slightly better option.
So, you know what? I do. It's okay to give in a way that you've thought about. And you've been like, you know what? That's nice. All the kids like a juice box. The kids can offer a juice box. I'll give on that. But the problem is when you see yourself giving just because you're like, you're sort of uncomfortable.
That's when mom and dad come home stressed from their vacation.
Right.
When you've just given in on everything, you haven't.
And they want more.
You didn't stick to your rules. And here, you know, you keep saying this kind of, let's say this loud and clear. Have a plan beforehand for all of these things. Because while you're on vacation, you don't want to be figuring it out.
Right.
Like, while you're on vacation, right? You want a clear plan beforehand how you're going to deal with snacks, how you're going to deal with bedtime. Because otherwise, then you're making these fraught decisions when you should be relaxing.
That's the irony of all of this, is we want to be relaxed and chill on vacation. So what we do is we go, oh, no, we will figure it
but
out
then all
there.
Of a sudden, you wake up one day and it's like,
the
irony
is, if you actually stay a little more rigid about things,
you're going to have a better time. And mom and dad matter too. And it's an ongoing theme of this podcast, I think, in terms of the advice we give, is that everyone's going to have more fun over the long haul if it's vacation for mom and dad too.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't have to turn into kid madness every time you take vacation. It really doesn't, because then you're not going to want to go.
Not you.
You're not going to want to go. But if you keep that balance, okay, and if your rules matter, then you're going to want to go on these trips more, and you're going to enjoy them more, and they're going to be more memorable.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of it, these are talking points maybe for you to think about before you go on vacation.
Yeah, so write in and let us know. What are some of your struggles? What are some of areas where you've had success with naughty behavior? What are your personal hotspots? I always look at these things as like learning opportunities with our podcast listeners, right? So please write in. How do you deal with naughty behavior at the campground? We will be back in a second with a great review of the Sugar Ridge RV Park in Danville, Vermont in the Northeast Kingdom. I think we should do a campground review.
Well, it's been a little while.
You and I haven't done one in a while.
No, we've been very lucky to have campground reviews from other people, namely our correspondents.
Our brilliant correspondents, our creative correspondents, our quirky correspondents, our
handsome,
adventurous,
charming, beautiful,
charming, handsome, beautiful correspondents.
We love our correspondents.
But we've got a campground we wanted to share with you. So we kind of wrapped up our summer at the Sugar Ridge RV Park in Danville, Vermont. It's in a section of Vermont called the Northeast Kingdom. It's pretty far north, okay? In the section of the Northeast Kingdom goes all the way to the top, all right, in the northeast corner. But we were sort of towards the bottom of that. Now, it's a beautiful – everything in Vermont's beautiful. I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, it's in a beautiful part of Vermont. But frankly, everything in Vermont is beautiful. The beauty here is a little quieter, a little sleepier to me than other places.
It's a little more rugged, I would say, too. It's close to the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
Right.
So picture, you know, sort of a transition between the more beautiful green rolling hills of southern Vermont and then those more rugged, sharp mountains.
Good way to put it, too. And also, I believe the character of the people in the Northeast Kingdom is a little bit more New Hampshire-y than the more traditional kind of Vermont feel, where it's kind of like very loose, liberal, fun, artsy. Yeah, like it is. It's almost like this in-between of Vermont and New Hampshire in this really interesting way. So we would really recommend this campground and the area, okay? So there's great hiking there, all right? We did the Cabot Cheese factory tour, which is really cool.
I really did enjoy it. I mean, it is as commercial as it gets, really. You know, like you go in, there's a store and the sampling, and you go through a tour that's like very run and very like regimented.
It was cheap, though.
It was
about $3 per adult, and the kids were free.
Love that.
Okay,
that's very important to me.
Practically free.
But you know what? I left feeling really warm. They did the good job because I left feeling really warm.
It was about half an hour. So did I. There's a video that's about 10 or 12 minutes, and then the tour is only about 15 to 20 minutes. The whole experience is 30 minutes, which to me is perfect for us with kids.
And we got to see cheese being made.
We got to eat cheese.
And we got to eat a lot.
And we bought a lot.
Oh my God. Yeah. I ate so much cheese in Vermont.
So that, I would say that's a major half-day attraction, okay, for that area of Vermont. Then also St. Johnsbury. The city of St. Johnsbury is 8 miles from the campground.
Yeah.
It's a short drive from the campground. And it's not like the picturesque, charming New England village.
No, it's not. It is one of the more traditional industrial towns that's not necessarily industrial anymore. It was a mill town. We actually had dinner one night at a beautiful mill.
On the water.
Restaurant, right. It was the site of an old mill. And it has that sort of gritty element to it, but yet there's been a lot of rejuvenation also.
Right.
And different sorts of arts, culture move in, which is very common with some of these older
industrial
towns.
Yeah, so it wasn't – I wouldn't call it a beautiful town. It was a pretty town, and there was a lot of cool stuff to do there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good shopping, a lot of good food. Their library – pronounce that for me. The Athenaeum.
Okay,
former classics major here. Has an art gallery in it, which was awesome. It has a children's library. We went there on a rainy day and actually did story time. There's a planetarium in town. And then the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail starts in St. Johnsbury, I believe, and it goes a long, long way, and it passes the campground directly.
Yeah.
Now, you can access the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail from the campground.
But you shouldn't.
Well,
if you have kids.
So
no.
Go ahead.
It's just that what happened, this, the campground is actually sort of carved into
the side of a hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
a ridge.
Yeah, obviously. So when you are going down, it's like the bike trail is a little bit down.
There's
in
like
the valley.
Three hills.
So, and they're not just hills. They are like embankments.
One of them I wouldn't even ride the bike down as an adult. I walked my bike down. So the first day when we got there, I was like, oh, we got to get out on – because the boys had just learned to ride their bikes and we're all pumped up about bikes. And I was like, we got to get down on the rail trail. And so we all went down there together as a family. And the rail trail is beautiful. It's gorgeous. If you love biking, that this makes this a top pick for a campground. But for us with six-year-olds and Wes, it was hard getting back up.
Yeah.
It was really hard getting back up.
We had to help the boys a couple of times. They were troopers, by the way. But we had to do sort of, you know, we had to go up and come back down for another bike and go up. Now, I think we spent time almost every single day we were there on this trail.
So what we did was we would go drive to different spots. Mm-hmm. So I kept every day I was asking somebody, oh, what's a pretty stretch of the rail trail? And somebody would say, oh, go down to Marty's, which is like the convenience store. Hang a left on the dirt road and you can access the trail there. So literally on five different days, we would throw the bikes in the truck and drive to some different section of the trail. One was along Joe's Pond.
Yeah.
So it goes along the pond. It's very beautiful. We also drove into St. Johnsbury one day, and we rode the rail trail
right
there.
That was the boys' favorite section because I guess there was a tunnel.
You go under a huge tunnel. The picture is on Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you're a biking family, or you have older kids and you love to go biking, I think that this makes this campground, it really elevates my score on this campground because you can literally ride your bike from your site down to the rail trail and go forever, and it's gorgeous.
And if you're doing fall foliage in Vermont, I can't imagine a nicer way to experience the foliage probably than riding up and down this rail trail.
Check out my pictures on Instagram because it shows you how deeply wooded the trail is, and it just really kind of carved out of the forest. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. So if you like to bike, this is a top pick. Now, if you don't like to bike, would you still say Sugar Ridge RV Park is a top pick for people?
Well, there's lots of hiking around. There's the state parks. We went around a lake one day. You know,
Kettle Pond State Park. We hiked around. Mm-hmm. I loved the hike, but Stephanie had young Wes on her back. And it's only a 3-mile loop hike around Kettle Pond, but there's really no flat section to the trail. It's all roots and rocks and a lot of picking.
It's flat in the sense of there's no elevation gain.
Yeah.
So the book said...
Easy. It said an easy hike, and it really was
and
a moderate
3
hike.
Miles around, I'm thinking, I could do that in my sleep, folks, right? Put Wesley on my back, no problem. This was brutal. Every single step was on a rock or a root. And not just like little rocks, like big rocks for 3 miles. I had to watch. And you have to, when you have a baby on your back, you have to really watch your balance when you're on rocks and roots. So for 3 miles, I was intensely like balancing
myself. And the boys
myself.
Petered out
they
after
did.
About
it was
2 miles because it was challenging for them. A great spot for kayaking. Okay, so if you kayak or you canoe, this is a great spot, Kettle Pond State Park.
Yeah.
Okay, the amenities at the campground. Okay, they're really good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a really beautiful miniature golf course, like a real miniature golf course.
It's 18 holes, and it was really like a full golf course that you would go to.
$4, though.
But right, so that was one of those things that if you pay for it, it's like a family activity for the evening.
Right.
And we did it in the afternoon one day. Wes was taking his nap.
Right.
I took the older boys, and we had a nice time doing it. It was a nice time, but the problem is it's a one-time thing because that was $12.
Yeah, so we thought, oh, you know, maybe if it was $2 or something, we would have done it a few more times. But a really nice mini golf course. Two big pools, one heated, one not.
Right next to each other, though.
Right next to each other. So a really nice pool area, and they were really big pools. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody says they have a big pool at their campground. Yeah. These were pretty big pools. I loved the camp store. It had a really like lodgy feel to it. The prices, you know, the ironic.
Can I talk about my favorite thing in the camp store?
Then I can.
And this is where I had the ice cream. You talked about the ice cream before. They had the soft serve with the vanilla, the chocolate, and the swirl in the middle that you could get. And I have no idea why, because I would never in my mind, like when I go to an ice cream shop or I don't get the soft serve, but something about it being there, it took me back to like my college days when you just had access to a soft serve machine like in the cafeteria.
It was an awesome camp store.
And I had to get myself soft serve over and over again.
It's only fair to say, because we said we thought the mini golf was expensive, everything else in that camp store was very reasonably priced in terms of like ice cream, in terms of drinks. I loved the fact that they had honest tea. I love honest tea, and I hate the fact that every campground you go to only sells soda. Like, we have literally been to campgrounds that just sell soda. So I was thrilled they had honest tea. Gorgeous, gorgeous camp store. The other thing that was particularly charming about Sugar Ridge was they do a horse and carriage ride every single morning for free.
Yeah.
The boys loved it.
Yeah. They have one. I don't know my horses, but they're like the big horses. I wouldn't say like the Clydesdales because I don't know if they were Clydesdales.
They're not Clydesdales,
they're big horses, yes. Like with the big hooves and everything.
Yeah. If we have any podcast listeners that are into horses, they're going to be like, these
no,
two are.
No, I know. We don't know. But on our Instagram, there is a picture of the horses. If
couple
anybody
pictures,
can identify them.
But it's a fairly long drive. It doesn't get overly crowded. And one morning we even went twice.
Twice, yeah.
And it's just like one of those nice campground traditions. It's just very unique to this
campground.
Every
morning at 8:30. Yeah, that was nice.
They had scheduled activities every day. I wouldn't give it incredibly high marks on the scheduled activities. They were decent. We did some of them. We skipped a lot of them as well. The sites were really large. We had a huge back end site with lots of space on either side. And generally speaking, I think I only saw one site that was not big.
Yeah, there was one that was like cut weird.
Yeah, but so I'm saying out of like 100 sites, you know, like most of the sites were very spacious. And it's about $50 a night there. So I think a really reasonable price, really great amenities, a great part of Vermont. The interesting thing to talk about here, lots of seasonals at this campground.
Yeah.
We didn't count and I didn't ask, but definitely more than 50% of the sites were seasonals. And it really might have been more like 75% of the sites were seasonals.
Beautiful too, with decks and such nice landscaping.
And it was these were really nice high-end seasonals.
Yeah.
Now, we don't go to too many places like this that are heavy on the seasonals.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting to think about how that affects your vacation experience when you're the person coming in as the, what do you call it?
The transient
camper. But then everyone else is there for the summer, right? Now, what I realized I didn't like about it was that all the best sites were taken up.
Mm-hmm.
Our site was big. But it wasn't one of the best sites at the campground, right? So I just felt like, you know what? I pride myself on always getting the best site.
You like to get the best site.
Right? I work hard to like get one of the premier sites, not just, you know, the expensive sites, but ones that are in a good location. And we were kind of shoved in the back of the campground kind of far away, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I think that we realized is that there's so many people there that know each other that the social dynamic changes.
It does. It's definitely different. I was thinking back, and I think size affects this also. So you were really identifying the seasonal aspect of it. I was also identifying the size of it. All the summer, I said, going to tons of different campgrounds helps you clarify things you like. Well, I think one more thing is that I really, truly enjoy a smaller campground. I think I just have figured that out about myself. I think it changes the dynamic and makes it a little cozier.
This was a pretty big
campground.
Seeing
the same people all the time, it was interesting. Like, we were at Queechy the week before, and we almost, like, got to know people there.
No, we
did.
By the end of the week, we had, like, 7 friends there.
Really
it's
nice
at 7
people
different sites.
Just chatting.
So you're saying it's more about the size and not the seasonal aspect?
I think it's both. I think when you have a smaller campground, you know, you're just seeing the same people. You're kind of like walking past and you're saying
everyone
hi.
Is friendly and nice, but people aren't kind of going out of their way socializing, talking about where they're going next, where they've just come from. The dynamic is different.
Yeah, it is different. And I kind of figured when we were there, I thought, you know what? I tend to like a smaller campground.
Yeah.
I think I found that out about myself.
I think
the bigger campgrounds make me feel a little like overwhelmed. It's a little more city-ish. It's a little, I don't know. It is a little
you
more
like
city-ish
small and
today.
Cozy.
I do.
Yeah. Overall, I think we both give this a really strong recommendation, particularly if your family is into biking. Okay. There are maybe other more amazing and beautiful parts of Vermont, but the fact that you have that rail trail there really makes this a special place.
And then there's
place.
Other biking opportunities there nearby as well.
The Kingdom Trails,
yes,
which
the
are
Kingdom
more
trails.
Definitely more for like older kids or adults. So we didn't take the boys there. They're supposed to even be better
amazing.
Than
they're
the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail. So go to the Northeast Kingdom if you're a biking family. We will be back in a second with a review of Big Time RV Season 2. Now it's time for our recommendation of the week.
Yeah, we're home, and that means that we have access to things like Netflix and...
Yeah, we can find stuff to recommend.
Yeah,
well, we've been doing our summer travels, and the podcast has reflected that. So I do think that now that we're back home, we'll more settle into more of a rhythm of our programming. So we have been really enjoying season 2 of Big Time RV. Now, it's on the Travel Channel, but I don't know when, because we're watching it streaming on iTunes.
So we don't have cable, but we bought the app.
We bought the season
on iTunes.
On iTunes, yeah, it was a reasonable price. So I liked season 1. I'm really liking season 2. I think they've hit their stride. There's usually about 3 stories per episode. The 3 episodes so far were Windshield Wipeout, 16 Women, 1 RV, and the Elvis Factor. So I also. There's like a quirkiness to the titles and a quirkiness to the show. So what I think they're hitting their stride with is that they're finding really compelling people and interesting stories and alternate uses for the RVs. It's not just about like showing blingy RVs,
which
they do that too.
And some of these shows I feel like enter into the world of just like, look in how amazing in this is, you know, this and how huge is this and look at these closets and
but here it's really more about the people that are shopping. So in Windshield Wipeout, there's a husband and wife magician team who go on the road and they do their traveling magic show, and they've just been like living out of a van or whatever, and they finally staying in a hotel, I can't remember which, but they finally like are deciding they want a travel trailer and they want an RV to make their this more comfortable for them. So it's kind of interesting hearing these two magicians talk about their lives on the road, and they go for the Airstream.
Of course they do.
Right? Because they want something kind of cool. And yeah, they're stylish. These cool magicians. So they're quirky and interesting. And I love hearing about alternate uses of RVs, people who are like using them for work in some way or using them to support some kind of traveling lifestyle. Also, they on that same episode, they talked about a couple whose windshield was destroyed. And you gasped when you heard that it cost $2,000 to fix. Oh. And I think that we'll never get a Class A now after Stephanie watched this, sadly.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. And you said, when I was like, oh,
hidden
my gosh,
costs,
you said there are so many hidden
ownership.
Costs to
motorhome. Yeah, more so than owning a travel trailer.
We've talked about tires before. We've had that conversation with how much people
tires don't cost $150.
And trailers are not like that. It's different.
So then on the second episode, 16 Women, 1 RV, there's a roller derby team of 16 women who are looking to rent, right?
Yeah.
To rent an RV to travel to their roller derby.
Like for a week at a time when they
had to
go. And
this isn't a joke. They're looking for one where they all 16 of them can sleep.
And at the end, they all drove off. I mean, a spoiler alert, people. They drove off, all 16 of them.
Like, in a Class A with bunk beds. Yeah. And look, when we say that they all can sleep in it, I don't think anyone's recommending that you do this.
they were like
four of them in a bed, people sleeping on the floor.
Oh, the
but the thing is, they've probably been doing that in a single hotel room.
Right.
So now they're just doing it in an RV.
Cutting.
But they're hilarious. They were acting like this was like the most luxurious, comfortable thing in the world to buy that traditional classy floor plan with the bunk beds. Mm-hmm. Then on the Elvis Factor, you had these two party girls who wanted to rent a Class A and go to the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And someone from Lazy Days is giving them driving lessons.
Which, of course, one was
you know, good and one was bad.
So that was funny.
So the stories of the people are interesting. And then there's a couple with kids who are shopping for a fifth wheel toy hauler because they have a business where they make custom-made golf carts.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to travel and bring their golf carts and I think even to deliver them and sell them.
Right.
So they're doing a good job of finding compelling stories, compelling people, and it's not just the, hey, look at the $1 million Class A.
Yeah,
right?
Very, you know, look, if you have 22 minutes or 23 minutes of time at the
end
of the day,
it's worth 23 minutes of your life.
Have a seat together, you know, watch an episode. It's a nice way to chill
out. The one critique, maybe, which I hope they do something about this, it'd be nice to see someone shopping for a pop-up camper. Or it'd be nice to see somebody going the budget route, because the RV industry has really created a lot of budget friendly options, like say, you know, around the $12,000 price point, $12,000 to $15,000. Just, and some people are saying, oh, that's a budget price point. But you know, there are a lot of options in a lower price range. It's not just all about the $1 million motorhomes, right? So I'd like to see them do something with that at some point soon. So we recommend Big Time RV. We will be back in a second to wrap up this show. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Go RVing. To find your way, head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA. And next week, we're going to tackle fall camping, are we not?
Yeah, well, instead of being sad that summer's coming to a close with Labor Day weekend,
we're going to celebrate
fall.
We
are going to celebrate fall. We're going to look ahead. It is one of our favorite seasons to camp during, and we're going to talk about why.
And we want to ask the question, is fall camping best? Okay, so we want our listeners to get involved. We'll put something up on Facebook, and please let us know, what is your favorite season for camping and why? Please remember to drop us a line if you're coming to the Hershey RV Show. Let us know in advance, okay? One or both of us will be there every day at the Progressive booth. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 16th to 20th.
Yep.
Let us know when you're coming. So we'll kind of like meet up with you there and we won't disappear during that time when you pop by the Progressive.
Going off RV shopping and all.
Exactly.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.